is Michael C., and I am a compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. And thanks for having me, Verna, and asking me to share my experience, strength, and hope. Hope everybody is good. And best way to start a Sunday morning or any morning is with a meeting or a connection with, you know, higher power, God, and program. And if there's any newcomers out there, welcome. If there's anyone coming back, welcome. Anyone struggling, you know, everything can get better today with coming back to program. Like I said, if you're new, get a sponsor today. Pain doesn't have to go on. I came into program in 2001, and I weigh and measure 3 meals a day, nothing in between, no flour, no sugar. If I go out to a restaurant, I don't weigh and measure, but I'm really strict. And it all starts with sobriety. I can't work this program without being sober. And I'm in other fellowships as well. Careful what I watch, careful what I read. Try to weigh and measure everything. Try to stay off that social stuff. Don't watch the news anymore because, you know, a guy in program years ago said, if something makes you crazy, don't do it. And I can get crazy quick on that. And the bottom line is I'm selfish and self-centered. If you act and you think the way I want, then I'm going to be happy, which is selfish. You have to have the same thoughts as me, not the same thoughts, but the same, I want to say ideals. But anyways, I'm the problem. So, like I said, selfishness, self-centeredness, fearful, and restless, irritable, and discontented. That's an addict right there, you know? So, I came in 2001. I needed this program since I was really young, and I started with the food at a young age. There's pictures of me at a young age, you know, eating, and I remember that commercial, Mikey Likes It. I don't know if anyone else remembers that on the back of the box. I remember my dad cut that little picture out and put it on the fridge of me, you know, because I eat everything, you know. And, you know, I'm Italian, and when you came into our house on a Sunday especially, it really smelled, that nice smell. Food was love, and if you knocked on the door and you were, you know, from the neighborhood, you were getting something. You know, you were a drink, and you were going to sit down and eat. And there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, I've been to Italy a few times, and I didn't see many heavy people out there. The only people I saw that were heavy were Americans. That's the truth. And I remember my mother would say to me, you know, in Italy or Europe, they go out shopping for the day. That's it. They go get the food for the day, and not like we're – and we want to get 2 months of food in the fridge, you know. But it doesn't matter because there's plenty of people that live here that aren't food addicts, you know. So I'm the one with it. But I remember seeing people in my family that were in OA, and when they were weighing and measuring, and they were very happy. So that seed was planted at a young age. And I remember seeing the books in the house on the coffee table. I think it was the Big Book. And there was another OA red, I forget what it was. So anyways, but I wanted nothing to do with the program because that meant I had a problem. And so, you know, at a young, I've been heavy, I've been light, and I remember when I lost weight and I was over-exercising, I still felt crappy after because you're like, well, there's no more tomorrow. I lost the weight and I'm in a thin body. Now what? So I came into program in 2001. My first meeting, this guy named Walter grabbed me right away, and he wouldn't let me leave. I said, what's going on in this place here? You know, it's a little weird, you know. Everyone's mm-hmm. friendly. Everyone's nice. And you get to stand up and talk at a meeting. I've never seen that before in my life where it's democratic. You know, you get to share. And so I've never seen that before. It was pretty awesome because, you know, a lot of people I've heard in programs say, like, they couldn't really share stuff because they get criticized and be wrong, but, it, you know, in the regular world, but you come here. So it's really amazing. So I kept coming to the meetings, and I remember saying to this woman, what is abstinence. And what's weighing and measuring? And she told me everything. And then she told me, you know, if you fail to prepare, you're prepared to fail. I did not know how to eat healthy. I had false stuff in my head about eating, nutrition. Because I remember they said, oh, make sure you have two fats every day with your lunch and dinner. I'm like, what's going on with this? I've been told all this is bad. And then I don't want to mention food, but my breakfast is one cup of milk every day. I'll say that because I know that I've never heard anyone going crazy with milk, but we can. But I'm like, what's up with that? And then they said, you can go to a nutritionist. And we're not, you know, in program, we're not nutritionists. We are not doctors. But I went and I gave the nutritionist my food plan. And they're like, everything's awesome. That's amazing if you could do this. And I had no problem doing it because I wasn't eating a lot of food. I was restricting and over-exercising and all this crazy stuff, which is like self-abuse, you know, form of bulimia, over-exercising, know about that. And so what I was getting back at is all this stuff I've been told, don't have that, don't have that. And I'm like, I eat it every day now, and it's part of my abstinence. And it's just amazing. And then I'll see people that I eat certain other foods that are absent, and people will see me eating it, and they're overweight, and they're not in program. They're like, what are you eating that for? That's not the worst thing you could ever have. And I'm like, no. You know, it's amazing when you come in and you start looking and learning about that we've been brainwashed, you know. So, you know, I make calls. I need to make more calls. When I came into program, I was making like 6-8 calls a day. And but I talk to my sponsor. I talk to sponsees. I get down on my knees when I wake up. I get down on my knees when I go to bed at night. Life is pretty amazing. And my wife's in program, and she works a really strong program. She's in another fellowship. So life is amazing. But I get sick and thinking, like, when's someone going to get sick? When's it going to, you know, it's just terrible. But I go to meetings on Zoom. And I'm here face-to-face. The 12 steps is amazing. So I got into program. I got abstinent. And my sponsor said, hey, if you're abstinent and you're, you know, blah, 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 do an AWOL. So I did the AWOL. And then I finished the AWOL. Hey, I finished the AWOL. You know, it was amazing. It kept me sober. And then she said, all right, if you did AWOL and now you want to do a big book step study meeting. You want to do the steps the way they're laid out in the big book. And she said, oh, one thing I got to tell you, don't share at the meeting unless you've done the process. And I'm like, oh, I've been around a little bit. What's going on with that? I should be able to share. And that was in my head. And then when I got to the meeting, I'm like, oh, God, thank you. I wasn't able to share because these people have done this process. They're on the other side. They have this amazing when you get through. And I'm like, I'm glad I couldn't share because I would have not sounded foolish, but I didn't have what they had. So I went to a few big book meetings, and I saw a guy that had he had what I wanted, and I asked him to be my sponsor, and he was older, and he took the steps, and I've been through the steps, and I've helped people through the steps. And that was amazing because you can't keep it unless you give it away. That was Walter was telling you when I first met him. You cannot keep it unless you give it away. Carry the message. Help other people. And the newcomer is the most important person in the room because we forget if we don't see them and hear them. They hear our story. And that big book, if I don't read it, I'll forget what's in it. You know, I was thinking before I started to share today, what would it be like without program? If you went to program and like stopped for a long time, and I've never heard anyone say that it's a good thing, and it can't be a good thing because, you know, I got the spiritual whole. Now it talks in the book about any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. When I was with my sponsor, we were reading the book, and I used to drive. When I went and saw him, my other sponsor that I met years later, that took me through the steps, it would take me 3 hours. It would take me an hour and a half to go and see him. then parked the car was a while, so I started parking in the garage and in, you know, downtown. And then, so that was 3 hours up and back without, you know, and then it was a couple hours seeing him. And I remember reading the book and underlining everything. He'd say, read the book before you, you know, read this before you come and see me. I was totally doing everything, you know. If I was away, like on business, then I would call him. He'd say, all right, call me at this time. So I was doing this work, and I remember any life run on self-will can hardly be a success, and he circled any. And so what I want to say was, the most important thing is step 12. Once we do this, carrying this message. Because if people didn't carry the message to me and they left, who was going to be there? But we get joy from it. It is a bright spot in our lives, and it says that in there. So it talks in the book about self-propulsion. You know, most people get up, they just run on self-propulsion, but we can't. So I need to act myself into right thinking. That's what I'm trying to say. Because if I get up and it's all about me, what am I going to do? How am I going to feel better? What's going to, you know, which type of security is going to make me feel better, you know? And so that one, you know, that one is God. It tells us in the preamble, that one is God. May you find him now. So so I've been in program a long time when I did the steps. The first time I did the steps, I was in program maybe a couple of years at the most. And then when I did the process the last time, that was before COVID in November. And just it's what I want to get at with services, people taking time to sit with me and talk to me and help me. That's just amazing. I've never seen that before. And usually it's money motivated, you know, or some type of accolade motivated, but they're not doing that for that. So when I was doing step work with my sponsor, he got sick and had cancer, but he had it before then, and he's been treated for it. He's not with us anymore. And what I want to say was, during his illness, he was like, okay, I want to do the steps with you, my fifth step with him. And the first thing I thought was, all right, why don't you, you're sick, why don't you get better, you know, because I was looking for the easiest, softer way probably, you know. And it says in the book, if you can delay it and it's okay, do it. So I'm like saying, oh, don't worry about it, you know. And he's like, no, I want to see you before I go back in the hospital. So his whole point was, he knew how sick I was with all this, you know, doing my step work, step four, and he knew, because he had been through, and he'd been in through for a long time. So that's what I'm trying to get at, is the amazing thing is how we carry the message. And then this other guy that I did step work with, like I said, I was driving an hour and a half up, hour and a half back, and then with him for at least an hour. And that's program. That's carrying the message. And so I did do the steps. I did go through it and get on the other side. And I do sponsor other people. So I sponsor men. I can get somebody started. I have plenty of time in the morning. My number is 617-755-6500. But this program is life-changing. I never thought when I came in June of 2001 that I would still be coming here. And I've gone to meetings, and I've heard I listen to people, and I remember going to this meeting about, oh, probably was like 15 years ago, maybe 20. And I heard a guy who had recovery and stopped doing it and picked up. And I think he probably gained over 100 pounds. And he stood up at the meeting and he said, hey, you got sobriety, you got abstinence, don't give it up because you may not get it back. And that's all I can share, saying I can't get it back. And it started with a minuscule little item that was abstinent. And he made the decision, his will, to do it. And you know what? I'm sober. My sobriety date is October 30th, 2001. And lately I've been getting food thoughts and not good thoughts. And you know what? The disease is doing push-ups out in the parking lot. I used to laugh when I heard that. I'd be like, what are they talking about? The older gals would say that. It's out there doing push-ups, I'd be like, next, you know, in my head. And I'm like, that is so true. It is trying to get through somehow, because it's not just with food, it's everything. I need to weigh
Michael,
and measure everything in my life.
Michael, you have 5 minutes left.
Thank you. And I need to have good thoughts. Joe and Charlie talk about it. Step three is our will is our thinking, and our life is our actions. So we need to have good thinking, sober thinking. If we just cash register honest and we're thinking not good stuff, it's going to come out. Whatever we think is going to come out in our actions. It's all about carrying the message and doing these steps and trusting and relying on higher power, which I call God. But it just all this doesn't happen overnight, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, and some days I feel like I'm doing nothing good. But a guy in the program years ago told me, with the last to know was screwed up, and with the last to know we're better. And we need to pat ourselves on the back every now and then, because I think I can be the hardest critic on myself. You know, I heard a guy in a meeting before. This is some good stuff. I heard this is some of the quotes I've heard that I still remember was spilt milk needs a napkin, not a lecture. I remember hearing that, because this guy, when he spilled his milk, he used to get hit. And he said, it needs a napkin, not a lecture. I never forgot that. And what else did I – I heard it'll be important to you when it's important to you. You know, this program will be important to you when it's important to you. And, that was amazing. But so program is amazing. Let go and let God. I asked a woman before in a program, I said, what is surrender? She said, when you're done banging your head against the wall. And a couple more. Someone at a meeting said once, don't be mad that you haven't got the results from the work that you haven't done in program. That was pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. And there was one more that I wanted to say. This one's really, really good. Oh, a guy said, if someone, came into your house, tied you up, and, poured stuff down your throat without you wanting to do it, you'd be mad, right? And then he said, well, why do we do it to ourselves? You know, we kill ourselves. So this disease untreated always gets worse, and it talks about it in the book. And I cannot think my way out of this, you know? And sometimes I go to meetings, and they're in libraries. And I remember looking in the library during the meeting and looking at every book and saying, if I read every one of those books, I'd still be who I am. I'd still be a food addict and a compulsive overeater. I got problems, gambling, spending, everything. I think it all started in the beginning with not a lot of fear, and not sharing that fear with my parents, and not feeling good in my own skin. And I do qualify to be here. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm grateful that I'm here. And I was told years ago, we are a minority in a minority. We're a minority getting here, and we're a minority staying here. But just amazing that we can get better and recover, thanks to the guys in AA that got it going, and the people that did the people of OA, Roseanne, that started this program. Where will we be? And you can't buy sobriety. What an amazing feeling. I was never sober. I was always had something, but today I'm sober. And abstinence works, and they say if you don't like it, go get abstinent, follow the directions, and if you don't like it, your misery can be refunded, and I've never heard anyone say that it's better out there than here. So I have so much to be grateful for. Like I said, I do sponsor. Thank you guys for setting up the room and doing the work to get this meeting going. Not easy, Doing the Zoom meetings is awesome. You can wake up and just turn it on and you're there. There's nothing like being in a face-to-face meeting if you can get there. Some people can't. But these people that set this room up and do all this work, they're here early and they get everything set up so everyone can do the meeting. So thanks for letting me share. And like I said, if you're struggling, get a sponsor today. Everything can change today. Not tomorrow, not after July 4th. It can start now. So thanks.